Good morning. A few weeks ago, I began to fixate on Philippians 2. I knew Aaron was going to launch our Philippians series, and I knew Sebastian would be preaching last week on College Sunday, which was fantastic, by the way. Thank you. I wasn't planning on preaching at all, but I couldn't stop thinking about the stars in Philippians 2, specifically, "Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." Stars even invaded my sleep. In a dream, I saw a constellation flying across the night sky like a murmuration of fiery starlings. It was amazingly beautiful. I woke up thinking, "Oh, I wonder if a sermon's brewing." Other Bible verses and stories around stars began randomly popping into my mind. "Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him from the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars." Am I meant to preach on this passage? I wondered, since I couldn't get my mind off the stars. That's a little typical. When Sebastian ended his excellent sermon just before we got to the stars in Philippians 2, I thought, well, I think I might be preaching. So, as a continuation of our Philippians series, here I am, delighted to speak about the stars. Sorry. I had more puns than that, but I'm being good. So please listen or follow along as I read the text. Philippians 2, 12 through 16. "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain." Are you a star? Shooting stars make a splash. We live in a culture of shooting stars. Trendy people, programs, fashions, art, slogans, and slang. But the life of a shooting star is over in the blink of an eye. It's often glorious and memorable, but it is ephemeral. The church has its own shooting stars, trendy preachers and prophets who burn out in the blink of an eye and leave their followers in the dark. A constellation, on the other hand, is something you can set your course by, something that can lead you home. The church is meant to be a constellation. Children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. When Paul writes "you," he means you, plural. You, the church. Genesis 1, 14 and 15, And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times, days, and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light to the earth. And it was so. Like the stars God created, we are meant to serve as signs, to serve as lights, to be light, to give light. Remember our series from 1 John? This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. A persevering follower of Jesus, someone who walks in the light as he is in the light, will stay lit in the darkest skies, lending their light to the constellation that is the church, and becoming part of something bigger that points the way home to God. Someone like Paul. As Aaron noted at the beginning of this series, from the perspective of his captors, Paul was a prisoner. But you can't bind starlight. Aaron got us started by putting Paul's letter to the Philippians into its historical context, which I loved. I think a lot of us did. He reminded us that we can find reference to Paul's visit to the city of Philippi in Acts chapter 16. There, Luke writes, Paul met Lydia, a businesswoman, who became a Christian and his host in that city. There, Paul, with Silas, rescued a young, demonized slave girl who was being forced to tell fortunes to line the pockets of the men who owned her. And there, after having been imprisoned with Silas for that act of mercy, Paul saved the life of his jailer and introduced him and his family to Jesus. Paul knew and loved people, those new converts in Philippi. And the church, in spite of persecution, was growing there. So when Paul wrote, he wrote with knowledge and with love. And his friends in Philippi loved Paul. Aaron reminded us that when they heard Paul was in prison, they sent Epaphroditus, one of their own, to bring him supplies and encouragement. We know this because it's in Paul's letter. As Aaron said so beautifully, the Roman Empire fell, but Philippi still shines. Because you can't bind starlight. Paul's letter was inspiring, practically helpful, and newsy. It's as instructive to us as it would have been to those friends of Paul's who received it. Though we, not being part of the persecuted church, may not be able to grasp the depth of comfort it would have given Paul's friends, I think we all know what it is to be tempted to grumble and argue, and why that's not helpful when we're trying to be faithful representatives of Jesus. Paul was steeped in Scripture, being, in his words, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. Meaning, Paul knew the word of God inside and out. He would have had most of it memorized. Therefore, Paul's beautiful, poetical metaphor about shining like stars didn't just come to him because he was looking up at the night sky. His mind was saturated with the collection of Hebrew scriptures called the Torah, and they informed his way of life and his imagination. The metaphor of shining stars that Paul used was one of those glorious biblical hyperlinks that I love so much. Paul would have memorized the story of Abraham from Genesis 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. We know this because Paul wrote of it in his letter to the Galatians, so I'm not just making it up. Understand then that those who have faith are the children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Some of the people we know were Paul's friends in Philippi because they were named in Acts 16, and they were Gentiles like us, meaning they were not born into the family of God, they were adopted in. And Paul was writing to encourage and teach them to behave as children of the family would, so that others, seeing their example, might find their way home too. Unlike the Galatians, who were being exhorted by Paul to watch their doctrine, you foolish Galatians, Paul was commending the Philippians and reminding them to stay true. Because he knew, maybe better than anyone, that the true test of a believer isn't just correct doctrine, but it is in holding tight to Jesus in the dark and living as his authentic apprentice in this world. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Toward the end of Philippians 1, Paul wrote, Whatever happens, and they were under extreme persecution, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. We shine unbound together, a constellation, not a shooting star. Last week, Sebastian asked, Does your life point to God? Or are you looking in the mirror more than you're looking at God? In other words, are you a star or are you looking for stardom? He reminded me of a Persian legend that says, God had a great mirror, and when God looked in the mirror, he saw the truth. One day, God dropped the mirror, and the mirror shattered in 1,000 pieces. Men fought to secure a piece of the mirror for themselves. They all looked into their own shards, saw themselves, and thought they saw the truth. Stars are not mirrors. A mirror reflects the light of the sun, but stars are suns. And Paul is reminding these children of Abraham, adopted by God into the family of God, that they will shine like stars as they cling to Jesus, who is the word of truth. Stars are fueled. They shine because of nuclear fusion, which gives off an unspeakable amount of energy at their core, unimaginable energy, which reminds me of the Holy Spirit, the power or energy of God. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Well, what was God's good purpose? It was to exalt Jesus to the highest place so that everyone on earth would know that he is Lord and live and love him accordingly. Paul stated it like this, and Sebastian did cover this. God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. God is restoring all things. God is picking up the broken pieces and making them to be stars instead of shards. Paul was a broken piece. In the book of Acts, chapter 9, you can read about how he was hell-bent for vengeance on a desert road, clutching his shard of truth in bloody hands when Jesus stopped him in his tracks. Paul was literally blinded by the light of Christ, which then entered his soul and caused him to see true. And even though Paul could see true, my guess is that he had no idea that the letters he wrote from prison to his friends in the church would still be forming us, the church, today by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was just being faithful to the commission Jesus gave him. Just being faithful. And Paul's life was written into the words of Scripture for us to read thousands of years later. My hope is that within the constellation that is the church, each of you can bring to mind a few faithful stars, like Paul, who have helped you find your way to Jesus. Certainly, there are the disciples and biblical characters from the Old and New Testaments. We can be inspired by the stories of the ancient martyrs and even more modern stories of men and women who have lived or are living lives that draw attention to Jesus. Christian women and men can shine for us and draw us Christward through works of literature, the arts, the sciences, and they can shine by holding out the hope of the gospel in the form of practical care and help in places of war, oppression, destitution, or their neighborhood. Maybe you feel that you don't shine because you are in a form of imprisonment yourself. I know I've been there at times. Maybe you aren't there because of the gospel. But perhaps you feel you have nothing to offer because of your age, your health, your bank account, your grades, or your background. Perhaps you've been locked up by anxiety or depression. How can someone like you shine when everything within and without is so dark? Just be faithful. Hang in there. You can't see the light that comes from you, but others can. It makes a difference. I have been, and I bet you have been too, drawn into a deeper discipleship and love for God by the lives of faithful men and women whom I know personally. Professors, neighbors, friends, family members, co-workers. I'm even married to someone who shines for me. And these are not all people who have had their acts together. Some have experienced the prison of trauma, and from there have been motivated to bring hope to others who have experienced trauma. Others have been imprisoned by disease, and from bedroom, wheelchair, or hospital ward have shined a steady light for others wandering in that shadowy valley. Others have just thought they would never be brave enough to tell anybody about Jesus, yet their lives exhibit the words of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. The source of our light comes only from Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, we're getting there, people, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Sebastian gave us four hypotheses last week, to which I'm going to add one more. If we rise to worship God with our lives, holding fast to the word of truth, Jesus, then others will take notice and come to worship him like the Magi. You can't bind starlight. I'd like to invite the worship team to join me now. Working out your salvation is not the same as earning it. Working out your salvation is not the same as earning it. As one of my stars, Dallas Willard, has said, faith is opposed to earning, not effort. Empowered by the Holy Spirit to follow Jesus, we stay near him, learning by practicing to live like him. Practice living like Jesus. As another of my stars, John Mark Comer, says, I have a lot of literary stars, disciples learn how to be with Jesus, how to be like Jesus, and how to do what Jesus does. We're learners. Jesus illuminates the darkness. So I'm going now to invite you to enter a time of prayer, reflection, and quiet worship. Please feel free to close your eyes so you can really focus and listen. Now is your time to be very still and know that God is here. And then I have three questions. If you need to open your eyes to look at them up there, please feel free. First, how is God inviting you to shine your light into the world? And what practical steps can you take to more closely follow the example of Jesus, who always brings his light into dark places? The second, if you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. But are you experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit to equip you to learn from Jesus, be like Jesus, and do what Jesus does? If not, now's a good time to invite the Holy Spirit to empower you. And then the third, if you are spiritual or exploring Christianity, but are hesitant to make a commitment to apprenticeship to Jesus, this could be the time to invite Jesus to show you that he's real. And he's here for you because he loves you. After a few minutes, Diane and the team will invite us to stand and worship in song. If during the silence something comes up for you that you feel you need prayer for, please avail yourselves of the prayer team who will be over here at the conclusion of the service. Thank you.